Would you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 if you brought your Bibles? We're going to be there the whole time. I'm going to reference some other verses, but that's where we're going to stay. And so 2 Peter chapter 1. The other day I was getting ready to leave my house to go meet somebody, and I was going to leave right on time because that is when you should leave, right? You on-time people know what I'm talking about. Late people don't understand. But you leave right on time. And so I went through, you know, I said bye to my wife, bye to my son, and then went through the goodbye routine with my daughter. So my daughter is a little bit particular about things. You have to do it the same every time. And so she meets me at the door. I give her a hug and then a kiss, and then she gives me a hug and then a kiss, and then she says bye, I say bye. She says see you later, I say see you later. You got to do the whole thing. One time I forgot to say see you later. I'm walking out the door, and she starts crying. I said, what's wrong? You didn't say see you later. So we had to start the whole routine over and get through the, okay, so do the whole. So we did it all. And so I get through the routine and I grab my wallet, which is always by the door, and I grab my keys aren't there. Okay, and so now I'm looking around the house. I was going to leave on time, and now I'm not going to leave on time. And then you have to redo the routine, by the way, because I didn't leave. And so I'm looking, and I'm frustrated because I cannot find the keys to the car. See, because in the garage, just like probably in yours, I have a vehicle that is capable of going 70 miles an hour easily on the highway. It is capable of going very long distances. In fact, and my car is very faithful. I have had the same car for 11 and a half years, and it has never given me a problem. I've never not been able to get where I needed to go. But without the keys, all of that potential, all that, you know, things that it could do for me, it is worthless. You've got to have the keys. Without them, you're not going to get anywhere. Without them, what is the potential is wasted. And I tell you that because there are some things that God may want to do in you and through you and some power that is available to you that many are not experiencing because they don't have the keys, okay? And we're going to talk about those keys in just a minute. And I wanted to also, though, mention, because I'm going to be talking to us that believe. And maybe you're here and you're not a Christian yet, and you're checking things out and you're wondering, and maybe you have seen Christians and you thought, they don't really look any different than me. So what's the point? Well, I want you to know that that is not what you should have seen, because we should look different. And I hope that maybe as we talk this morning, you will see there is a difference that believing in God can make in your life. And so we're in 2 Peter chapter 1. So I'll give you an understanding. This is Peter, the same Peter who walked on water with Jesus. That's pretty amazing. And then denied Jesus and then started the church, okay? So he preached and 3,000 people got saved. It's that Peter. And so a little while later, he writes two letters to Christians and to the church. And here we are in 2 Peter. I think he was looking in the church and seeing a problem and going, okay, I need to write about this because they don't seem to understand. And so then this is the same kind of stuff we deal with today, amazingly. And so we're going to look at what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1. We start in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That means that the life that he wants for you and has for you, he's given us everything that we need to live it. What he wants to accomplish in you and through you, he's given us what we need to do that. Everything we need for life and godliness, okay? And then he goes on and explains to us how. And he says, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own goodness. So how do we have everything that we need for life and godliness? It's through our knowledge of him. And I want you to remember this. I put it in yellow because it's going to come up again in just a minute, okay? But it is through our knowledge of him, our faith in Jesus, that we have everything that we need for life and godliness, okay? Who called us according to his glory and goodness. Through these, now the these is referring to his glory and goodness, okay? It's by his glory and goodness, okay, that he has given us very great and precious promises. Now a promise is a guarantee that you're going to do what you say. So if you're going to meet a friend and they say, I'm going to meet you at this time, and they're that friend that's always late, and you go, mm-hmm. And they go, no, I promise, okay? That means I guarantee it this time. I promise I'm really going to do it, okay? And I don't always mean it, but this time I promise it's a guarantee. Now, you don't see Jesus saying, I promise I'm going to do this. Why? Because when Jesus says it, it's a guarantee, okay? And so that's a promise is something he said he's going to do, and it's a guarantee that he's going to do it. And he calls them great and precious. Now, if something is precious, you hold on to it. You don't let it go. You keep it. See, my daughter has promises that she considers precious, okay? And I know because she holds on to them and doesn't let them go. It's like this. We're doing the potty training thing. She's 3. And when she's successful, sometimes she gets treats and things. And so one time, it was right before nap time, and so I said, well, when you wake up from your nap, I will give you some chocolate ice cream. Now, that was a great and precious promise, and I could tell you why. Because she went to bed, and the first thing when she got up was she ran straight to me and goes, I get ice cream. She held on to it. She didn't let that go. She was not going to let me let it go. She was going to remember. But you know what? I think some of the time, believers, we don't even know what the promises that Jesus has for us are, much less are we holding on to them and believing that he's going to do great things through those in our life. So we have these great and precious promises through those things, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, which sounds kind of weird. But we live in this natural world, but we can live in the nature that God has for us. It's at all encompassing, all life thing. It's in a different nature that we can be in as we're living in the full life that he has for us. And then he goes on finally and he says, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So we can escape our sinful nature and live in the divine nature. Does that sound like something any of you want? Say yes. Okay. How about this? Does living in his precious promises sound like something you want?
Yes.
You're awake, right? You got an extra hour, right? I mean, come on. All right, so how about this? Do we want to have everything for life and godliness? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. We want those things. I mean, come on. Of course we want those things. So why aren't many of us experiencing that? Okay. So the next two verses are the keys, the qualities. We're going to skip those for a moment, and then we're going to come back to them because I want to look at why we're not experiencing it real quick. And he tells us in just a couple verses in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, I said I wanted you to remember the knowledge of him, because it was through the knowledge of him that we have everything we need for life and godliness. But he tells us right here that though we may have that knowledge can be ineffective and unproductive. That means that though I know him, I may not be experiencing what he wants for me. I may not be living in that life. It could be ineffective and unproductive. This is why someone would look at a believer and go, they look just like everybody else. Their knowledge of Christ has become ineffective, unproductive, and is not doing anything. In fact, I think that believers even think they're supposed to be that way, because I hear them say stuff like this. They're talking to an unbeliever. Well, I'm just like you. I just believe in Jesus. No, don't ever say that again. It is completely wrong. You are totally different if you believe in him and you have your faith in him. I tell you what, when I believed in him, it changed my life. I have a joy that I would not have without him. I have a peace that I wouldn't have without him. I walk by the Spirit every single day. The way I treat my family, the way I treat others, the way I talk, everything is different because of him. I am not barely different. I am totally different because of my relationship with him. But we need to expect that. We need to believe that. Why is it that Jesus promises joy, complete joy is the phrase. He uses complete joy, but so many believers are bound up in sadness and depression. Why is it that he promises peace that goes beyond understanding, and yet so many are bound in stress? Now, I'm not condemning you if you're in these places. I'm telling you that there's something better. I'm telling you that our knowledge of him can be productive and effective. It doesn't have to be ineffective and unproductive. So do you want to be ineffective and unproductive? This is like the opposite of the yes thing. Do you want to be unproductive and ineffective and unproductive?
No,
we do not. We want to have what he has for us. And so let's talk about this. So what we got to do is we got to get our key. We got to find the key and put it in the ignition and do something with it, okay? And so and we're not talking about keys. He calls them qualities, okay? They're qualities. They're things that we need to have that has to be in our life if we're going to move forward in what he has for us, okay? So we got to back up, and he's going to tell us what these qualities are that are going to allow our knowledge of Jesus to do something in our life. Here we go. For this very reason, make every effort. I'm going to pause. You notice I pause a lot, okay, because I have to think through these things myself, okay? Make an effort. In other words, if we go through these things and you don't do anything different, you might have even thought those were good things. If you make no changes, it was a total waste. You got to do something. It'd be kind of like the kid who came to me. They were struggling with the class. I'm like, can you think you could help me figure out how to pass this class? And they had a test coming up, and I was very good at taking tests. I'm very good at studying. I know how to do that. And so I showed him the exact way to study. This is the kind of, you can make these flashcards and do this thing, and this is how you use them, and all through the thing, how to do it. A week later, I said, hey, how'd that test go? Sorry, I'm jamming out some music. Okay, he was like, oh, and I said, did you do the stuff I told you? And he goes, no. And I said, why didn't you do it? Like, why didn't you do that? He goes, I was just hoping it would work out. Now, I hope that's not how you're approaching your faith in God and your relationship with him. Well, I hope it just kind of works out. No, let's make an effort to increase in the things that he has for us, okay? So here we go. The first thing he says, make every effort to add to your faith. And now there's more to this sentence, but again, I'm going to pause because for some of you, maybe there's some alarms going off real quick, okay? It's like, wait a minute, you don't add to faith. It's just faith, only faith, okay? Now, I want to be clear. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. That is set in stone. That is not changing. That is the only way that we are saved is by grace through faith. However, salvation is the beginning of your relationship with God, not the end. Salvation is the beginning of discipleship, not the end. And the reason why some of you have, you know who Jesus is, you even believe in Jesus, but you haven't seen it change anything, is because you stopped and didn't let it continue and grow you into more. Because our faith should lead to something. There's something we're going to add to it. And so Peter says here, he says, add to your faith goodness. It begins with goodness, and there's quite a few of these, but he says, add to your faith goodness. Goodness, well, it's not badness, right? But goodness is faith in action. It's when we take our faith in him and we begin to do things, it's going to be lived out in goodness. People are going to look at the actions that you take in faith, and they're going to go, that's good. That's goodness right there. This is why Paul said we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We have that faith, and he has created us to do things. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Do you know that? Do you know what he says, how that we're the light of the world? What is it that we do? He says that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They're going to, they can't see my faith inside. They can see the good things that the faith leads me to do. And, you know, there are some people, when you just look at them, you think, man, there's some goodness in them. You know what that is? Them living out their faith. I'm thankful for the people in our church who live out their faith, who take that and it spurs them to do something, to minister to people, to change. I'm looking at BJ and Crystal Halpert right here because they take care of my kids every single week. In fact, they take care of a lot of your kids. They organize that entire preschool and nursery. And my kids love church because they said, you know what? I believe in God. I'm going to do something. I'm going to serve. You see, it's goodness. I just see goodness on them, okay? It's faith in action. And all of you that serve in there, I mean, if you serve in the nursery, you are amazing, okay? Let me just say. All right, I'm thankful I'm called to be up here. Okay, so with faith, with goodness, we add to our faith goodness. And let me just say what Jesus' brother said, okay? He said this in James 2:20. Faith without deeds is useless. Faith that's not put into action doesn't accomplish anything. And so what we want to do is we want to take our faith and let it spur us to do something, to be good, to grow in that. So we add to our faith goodness, and I got to move on. There's a lot. And to goodness, knowledge. Now, good news, this is not Algebra 2 knowledge, okay? This is not, you know, that kind of knowledge. And although those knowledges can be fine and maybe useful, although I did what you did probably. When I was in Algebra 2, did you raise your hand and say, when are we ever going to use this in real life? I did that. And of course, he rolled his eyes and said, well, you just never know. And it's been 18 years and still haven't. But you still got to learn it. I'm sorry, y'all study. Okay, but this kind of knowledge that we're talking about is something that we need for our everyday life. It is something that will apply to everything, and that is our knowledge of God and his word and what he says. And if we will grow in our knowledge of him and his word, oh man, it will change our life, and we will see our knowledge of Christ become effective and productive in our life. Now, this is something that I have really felt like God was trying to get me to grow in. And so, like, at the beginning of this year, I felt like I was supposed to start reading. I mean, I read my Bible, but I was supposed to read more and grow. And so I made a commitment to read 25 books this year, which some of you, and I was like, oh, I do that all the time. I read an average of one book a year for the last, like, 10 years. So 25 was something totally different. I'm 50 pages from finishing. Okay, so, like, I'm almost there already. I got 2 months left. And here's why. I've made this commitment to do this. I got to grow. I got to increase in my knowledge of him and his ways. And of course, I study the Bible and that. But I want to grow. I want to know him more. I want to know his ways. And I want to live that so that I can experience more of what he has for me. And you need to have a plan to grow. Listen, if you'll just, 30 minutes less to Instagram, Instagram's not going to change your life. A little bit more in his word or watching a sermon or something will change your life. Listening to the news or, sports radio on the way to work every day isn't going to change your life. But if you maybe put on a sermon or play the Bible app and play the scripture on the morning, it might change your life. And you just need to make an effort, decide, find a time, find a place where I'm going to increase in this area. And then to knowledge, self-control. Okay, so faith without action is useless, right? If we don't take faith and it turned to goodness. Okay, knowledge without self-control is useless. It doesn't matter what you know if you don't take it and put it into action, okay? Again, we'll go to Jesus' brother. Peter and James are on the same page here, because James said in James 1:20, do not just listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. You take it and you put it to action, and that takes self-control. Every year, there's some teenagers who are like on track, like track people running, and they're really committed to it. And they come in, and we have like sodas at our fellowships, and they'll say, oh, I can't have any. Can I have some water? The coach said, no soda, no ice cream, no. And they had this list of stuff they can't have if they want to be competitive. Because if you want to be really competitive, you got to do this stuff. And so they say, I can't have it. And then there's a couple of them who are like, yeah, I don't care, I'm going to drink it. And they're not competitive, okay? But there's those, and then they're really committed, and it takes self-control, especially when they're around me, because I get the ice cream, and I go sit at their table. Are you sure? It's good. You want some? I'll give you some. I'm just growing them in their self-control as their youth pastor. That's what I'm doing, okay? Just growing them in their self-control. But here's the thing. If we want to take what he has taught us to do, what we read in his word, it's going to take self-control to live it out. And through that, and we just apply that, and it's going to change your life. You're going to begin to see it. And to self-control, we add perseverance. And to self-control, perseverance. Persevering is to continue in that. It's not just to do it one time. One time is easy, right? If you go on a diet, it's easy the first day. I mean, that first day, even salad tastes okay. I'm like, this is good. I can do this, right? A week later, I need fried chicken and french fries, right? And some of you have done the ones that allow you to eat the like junk, because it's like, I don't know, there's like the paleo and the keto and the beano. Which is the one that you can't eat bread? Keto? Okay, yeah, that's what they said. Okay, so keto. Yeah, and you think, this is great, I get to eat all this good food. And then your friend gets a dinner roll out, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do keto anymore, I'm done. Okay, and because it takes, now that will change you. I've seen the effects on people's lives, but you got to persevere, right? If you go to the gym one time, all you are is sore, okay? If you wanted to see any change, it's going to take some perseverance. And if you want to see what God wants to do in your life, it's going to take perseverance, okay? He's going to tell you things to do and ways to act and things, and you do it one time, that's okay. But you got to do it over and over and over again, and you begin to see the fruits of that, and it becomes productive in your life and effective in your life. We have to add perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And this one's kind of a weird one. Like, I got stuck on it when I was reading it the first time, because I was like, godly? Like, I've never heard someone say, I am godly. Like, that would almost be weird. You're like, you're strange, right? We don't think of godly, okay, godliness very much. So I want to break it down a little bit. So you got godly. You got that L-Y on the end. So maybe if we use another word we understand, it'll help us. So if I was to say, he is friendly, he behaves in the manner of a friend. That's what that L-Y does to that, okay? If he is friendly, he behaves in the manner or like a friend would. If I asked you to help me do something and you said, I would happily do that, you would behave in the manner of someone that is happy. When you asked your kid to take out the trash, they grumpily did it. You remember, okay? They behaved in the manner of a grump. Okay, so you kind of understand. So godly is when we behave in the way, in the manner of God and how he would. It's Christ-likeness. And maybe that's still as clear as mud. So let me tell you how I like to think of it, what helps me. It is developing in me an attitude, the attitude of God towards things in my life. As I develop that attitude, then I will begin to behave in the manner that he is. So maybe think about it in terms of sin in your life. Most people, many people, when they approach sin, it's kind of like a person on a diet thinking about dessert. I really want it, but I can't, right? I really want to do that, but God said no. Okay, that's kind of their attitude. Instead, does that sound like godliness, by the way? I really want to sin, but I can't. No, that's not godliness. Okay, instead, you should have the attitude of me towards onions. Okay, I cannot stand onions. See, my favorite food is Mexican food. My favorite Mexican food is a chimichanga. If you don't know what a chimichanga is, it is a deep-fried burrito with queso poured on top. It is amazing. Okay, I love this thing. So I go to the restaurant, I get my chimichanga, and I cut into it, and I take a bite. Oh. And they look, and the entire thing is just filled with onions. And they're like, why don't you just pick them out? The onions have touched it. I can still taste it. Okay. And I can be at the table if they're cooked. If they're uncooked, I can't even eat. Like, if someone near me is uncooked, I'm like, it smells like armpit. Okay, I cannot sit at this table any longer. Please take it away. Okay, I do not like. So here's me and onions. Okay, what if that was the way you looked at sin? That would begin to be a godly attitude towards sin. I don't want that. That's destructive in my life. Well, onions aren't destructive, maybe to my nostrils, but that's destructive in my life. I do not want that in my life. If that was your attitude, it would help you persevere. It would help you with your self-control. Oh, man, we need to add that kind of godliness. What if we had a godly attitude towards others, especially when they did us wrong? Because what did he do to people that did him wrong? He sent his son to die for them and gave himself. Okay, now that is not sometimes our attitude. If we begin to develop a godly attitude, it would change our entire life. So into godliness, brotherly kindness. That's beginning to, again, look at this. We have something that seems internal. It's our attitude, and it's taken out external to brotherly kindness, to seeing others and helping them and taking care of them and just being kind to one another. And actually, there's an element in here where it's actually talking about kindness to those in the church and other believers. And it blows my mind that someone would ever leave a church because someone offended them. Like, did God leave you when you offended him? No, he forgives us and loves us, and that's how we should treat each other. We should love each other and grow together. We're a family, right? And so brotherly kindness, we got to grow in that. And he says, and he ends with this one, and to brotherly kindness, love. And love is not a gushy feeling. Okay, it is, but this is not the love he's talking about. This kind of love is this. Jesus said, no, greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. And this is love, that you would lay down our lives for others, that we would give of ourselves to others, that we would put others' needs ahead of ours. And so if we begin to grow in all of these things, which I love, by the way, that it begins with faith, which is how we begin our relationship with God, and it ends with love, which is the supreme ethic. It is the command that all the other commands hang on, that we love one another. It's surrounded by those. But then we have these things, and if we will grow in these things, it will change our life. And they all build on each other. I don't know if you've noticed this. If I grow in godliness, it's going to affect the way I love other people. It's going to affect my self-control. If I grow in my faith, it's going to affect these. All of them go together as we begin to grow in these things and to learn in these things. So I want to show you, though, what he said to do with them. I want to remind us. He says this, for if you possess these qualities, those things we just read, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. In increasing measure. And now that gives me hope, because it doesn't say if you possess these in perfection. Like if you had a cup of and you filled it up with water, you could get all the way to the top and it's perfectly full. Like, we got to get, I have perfectly full self-control. I never ever budge. I'm perfect. I have perfect love. I never say anything I shouldn't do. I never, okay. That would be difficult if we had to be perfect in order to see God move in our life. That's not what he says. He says, in increasing measure. So it's a little bit every day. You may look at your life, I'm going to start here, and go, I need to be here. Okay, I'm going to increase in knowledge. I'm going to decide to study the Word. You can't learn the whole Bible in one day. You're going to increase a little bit. And then you're going to grow in your love. And you're going to grow in your self-control. And you're going to persevere one more day. And you're going to persevere one more day. And you're going to continue to grow. And then you will see, all of a sudden, it's like, wow, look what God has done in my life. Look at the change that is happening. Look how productive my knowledge of Jesus is. Maybe we could look, if you're having trouble in your marriage, okay? Maybe there's a difficulty there, or maybe it's in your relationship with your kids. What we need to do is to see God's power and moving in that. We need to begin to increase in these areas. And it may begin with some self-control, keeping your mouth closed when you needed to not say what was in your head. And then it may begin with some knowledge and learning what God says about a godly marriage or raising your kids. And then it has some perseverance as you continue on in the things that he's taught you. And some brotherly kindness as you're kind when they weren't kind to you first. And some love as you're forgiving and those things. And on we go. And then you get down the road and you go, oh, look what God did in my life. Look how productive and effective his power is in my life and what he's done as we increase. Now, some of these are very obvious and how that we increase in them, but I just want to give you a couple ideas of things you could tangibly do to increase in some of these areas. So, for example, if I was to talk about just reading your Bible or coming and being faithful to church to hear God's Word taught, it would obviously grow your knowledge, right? Directly, your knowledge is going to increase. But it also says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so if we begin that, our faith is just going to grow. Our attitude, our godliness is going to change because we read his heart. And it's going to directly affect those. And of course, if it affects those, it's going to indirectly affect all the rest. Here's another one. How about serving? If you just start serving somewhere, some way, your love for other people is going to start to come out. You're going to intentionally be doing brotherly kindness. It's going to come out. Your attitude towards others is going to change. How about self-control? You know, sometimes you get up on Sunday morning and you go, oh, no, it's kind of cold today. I don't know if I'm going to go. Oh, I told them I'm going to be there. Self-control. You guys, it's going to help you with that. It's going to grow you. And on we could go. Here's a great one. Tithing. Tithing takes faith. Because you're looking at it and you go, I can't live on 100%. How can I live on 90%? And so it takes faith. It's going to grow your faith. It grows your self-control. Because suddenly it's like, well, I could spend that on this, but I've decided to do this, take self-control. You see, there's a car I want. I have an 11-year-old car, and there's this other car that's kind of cool that I kind of want. And if I just quit tithing, I could afford the payment. No problem. But am I going to do that? No. Self-control. Okay? And it's easy for me. I'm thankful because when I was 7 years old, my granddad taught me to tithe. And I've been doing it since then, and that self-control has been developed. But that will grow many of you in your self-control. Perseverance is to keep doing it. And this is a really huge one. It'll change your attitude towards money. And a lot of us need a different attitude towards money. I'll talk about that more in just a second. Here we go. Growth groups. If you're not in a community of people that are doing life with you, praying with you, talking with you, helping you, you need to have a community, whether that's growth groups or some community. And you may have some might say, well, you know, I tried them. It didn't help me. Well, you didn't persevere. You should have kept going. You go until you see the change, and that will help you. Okay, so we need to increase in these things. And I've seen it change people's lives so many times. There's a young man who I was helping with his finances, and they were a disaster. And so we looked everything out, and he was going into all this debt, and it was, anyways, not good. And so we decided, hey, you're going to start. He committed to tithing and making some changes. And he told me later, once things were much better, he said, when we first did that and I first started tithing, I thought God was going to immediately give me more money. And he didn't do that. And instead, what happened was, well, I had faith that God was the only way that this is going to get better. And that stepped into action as he began to tithe and give. And then he increased his knowledge. He learned about things like debt snowballing and, you know, some of you know these kind of things, and learned how to control his debt. And so he started to get out of debt. And then it took self-control as, okay, I got to do the coffee at home, not the Starbucks. Okay, that kind of stuff. Took self-control. And then perseverance to continue to drink the coffee at home and not the Starbucks. Okay, and then it took, and then you know what ended up happening? His whole attitude towards money changed. And then God blessed him financially. He got a raise at work, and some other things happened that really came into blessing. And this is what he told me just recently. He said, if God would have given me the raise and the blessings here, I would have just wasted it, and it would have been gone. But what he wanted was to increase some things in me and change me and grow me, and it happened over this time. And now he looks back, and he's in a totally different place in that area. And what area of your life does God want to change and bring you through and change? But we can't because we're not growing. You're not increasing. Imagine where your life could be in a year if you let God grow in you and do what he wants in you. If you begin to live that life that has everything we need. I want to believe that for you. So will you grow in these things? We're going to end with a time of prayer. And prayer is so important because I know many of us come into the room with needs and things that are going on in our life. And so we want to pray together and believe. And so in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing part of a song. And during that time, there's going to be people down here to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. And we all need prayer sometimes. So if you need prayer, there's something going on, listen, step out and believe that God's going to begin a work in you right now, right this morning. Father, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you've given us all that we need. I pray that we would begin to just live in all these things that you have for us. Help us to grow in you. And Lord, I pray that you would draw every person that needs you this morning and minister to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.